we rise. Grace and peace to you from the Blessed One, who comes in the name of the Lord, who comes for you. Amen. This first Sunday in Advent, as we anticipate the coming of our Lord, we turn our thoughts to the Psalms. Today, Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. This is the word of God. We pray in the name of our Lord. Help us, O Lord, to hear your holy word and believe. Amen. You stand atop the gate. The walls of Jerusalem are wide and thick, and you peer out into the Kidron Valley. From the walls of Jerusalem, you're a watchman, and you're looking out over the valley to see on the hills ahead. From Mount Olivet, a crowd is approaching. A crowd of pilgrims are coming down the mountainside with shouts and song. And in the midst of it all, there is a lone rider. They appear to be laying their coats before him and palm branches, and you stare out into that coming sign, and you wonder, who is this King of glory? Today, we enter into the season of Advent, a season of preparation, a season of anticipation, a season of fulfillment. A king comes to us from far away, and we gaze out from the gates of the city to find out who this king really is. Today we answer the question which our psalm is asking us, who is this King of glory? You're peering out from atop the city walls to see the crowds approaching with singing and shouting. And you ask, who is this King of glory? And a voice responds, why do you ask? Why is it that you need to ask who this king is? Do you not recognize him? But of course, that's the whole point. You don't recognize him. That's why you're asking the question. And you don't recognize him because your gates are closed. Your doors are closed. You're walled in. He's distant. The crowds are far away with their singing and shouting, but it's not where you're at. You're behind the gates. You're behind the doors. And from the safety of your well-fortified life, you just can't see who he is. But this is where you like it. This is where you know things are okay, where you're in control of what's going on, where you feel safe, at least for now. Why should you raise the gates and cause a stir in your life? Who is this King of glory? Well, this is much the feelings going on in Israel at the time of the prophet Isaiah. We read from Isaiah 64 earlier. We find that their own God, the Lord, Jehovah, was unrecognizable to his own people. They couldn't recognize who he was. If he was to walk among them and speak to their very ears, they couldn't tell it was him. They couldn't hear what he was saying. Instead, they had other gods, gods that were more familiar, gods they could see and touch, gods that said the things that made them feel good or didn't say the things that would make them feel bad. And these were the gods they recognized. They knew them. They knew them well. When Isaiah came preaching repentance and warning of the destruction that the Lord was going to bring upon them, it was as if they could say nothing more than, "Who is this King of Glory?" So Isaiah says in chapter 64, "We are like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. There is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us, and have consumed us because of our iniquities." God had hidden himself because of the sins of Israel. This is what sin does. It causes God to have to hide himself from us. Because in our sins, if God were to appear, we would be destroyed. So he has to hide himself. It happened in the Garden of Eden, in the very first sin, where God cast Adam and Eve out of his presence. No longer could they walk in the glorious presence of the Lord. It's happened to Israel, where God came and destroyed their city by the hand of the Babylonian armies and took them off captive for 70 years. It's happened to us too. At those times when sin has had its way in our lives and we've put up the gates, we've hidden ourselves in a place where we feel more comfortable perhaps. If God were to walk among us, would we recognize him? If he were to speak to us, would we hear his voice? Or have we shut our gates, closed off our lives and our hearts so that we can't even recognize him? What are the areas in our lives where we shut the Lord out? What are those areas where God has had to hide himself, perhaps coming in a swift judgment, a wake-up call, something meant to help us to once again recognize who the King of Glory is? And so Isaiah says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence." Yes, a voice has responded, and it's the voice of the Holy Spirit. Why do you ask? The Spirit leads us to peer into our own hearts and our lives and realize that we are nothing if we do not know who this King of Glory is. But behold, he comes. You see the crowds far off. They're waving, paving the way with their coats and palm branches. They're making their ways down the slope of Mount Olivet, closer and closer. And you're beginning to get a better look now. You're beginning to see that rider on that, well, what is that that he's riding on? He has no royal robe. He doesn't come with six horses and a chariot. He seems to be riding on a dirty donkey. And again, you're asking the question, who is this King of Glory? And the response comes back, well, why should I tell you? Why should I tell you who this King of Glory is? Are you just curious? Are you merely thinking of Christmas as just a birthday celebration? Are you merely thinking of the manger as nothing more than a nice Christmas card picture? Are you merely thinking of the baby as nothing more than a cute Sunday school craft? Why do you ask? Where does Jesus squeeze into your busy schedule? But we say, no, it's not those things. We really do want to know. We must know. The shouts and the singing have become familiar the closer they get. Something within us is stirred up, and even though this is so unusual that this man is riding on a donkey, we know there's something to it, isn't there? And we're ready to raise the gates, but we need some help knowing how do we even do it? How do we welcome this King of Glory? Well, you're asking the right questions. So I will tell you. I must tell you. Just listen. Just listen to the shouts. Listen to their songs. As Mark records, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. This is the blessed one that Psalm 118 speaks of. This is the one Zechariah prophesied of when he said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Your king is coming to you. And he's lowly, he's riding on a donkey. You will recognize him when you see him coming, riding on a donkey." It is good for you to ask these questions because this is how we prepare. This is how we give thanks. In a way, we should give thanks that the Lord is hidden from us. If God were to reveal himself in all his glory, it would destroy sinners like us. We could never stand it. And so we should give thanks that God has hidden himself in the humble form of a servant, in the lowly form of a king who rides on a donkey. Because that is where he comes for us. He is just in having salvation. And as John writes, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God brings his glory in Christ Jesus. This is the glory of the God, the fullness of what it means to be God, the manifestation of the glory of God coming to sinners like us in a hidden, concealed, and saving way. Here the Lord comes in the flesh, in a barn, born of a lowly, poor virgin, laid to rest in a feed trough. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Yes, we must ask the questions because he doesn't look so mighty. But this is his battle march. He rides to Jerusalem because he's coming for you. There he will meet the enemy. There he will face death. There his humility will be turned to exaltation. The lowest humiliation will end up in the highest exaltation. From the cross to the grave to the glory of eternity, Jesus comes for you. And this is what stirs you up. This is what lifts your gates. This is what makes it possible for you to repent and to know that God comes with forgiveness. You run down from your post. You open those gates and you head right out into that crowd where you are now joining the shouts and the singing. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so you've made your way down from the wall to the gate to the crowd. And you ask the question for everybody there to hear, because you know the response. Who is this King of glory? Why, it's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. You say it again. Who is this King of glory? The response, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Maybe you can say it with me. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. One more time. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. You've joined the crowds now. You're prepared to meet him. And thus the kingdom has come. God has raised up a crowd of pilgrims who have been through it all with Jesus. They've died with him. They've risen with him. They're exalted to glory with him. And now we may praise him. Because we see the manger not just as a nice picture on a Christmas card. We see the baby not just as a cute Sunday school lesson. We see Christmas not just as a birthday celebration, but we see the coming of the King of glory, God himself, coming to us. where he meets us with salvation. And so we praise him, because we know he is Lord of hosts, who reigns in victory, strong and mighty in battle, who is Lord over all things, who is Lord over your sins, who is Lord over your problems, who is Lord over your future, who is Lord of all. He has the host of heaven, the armies of heaven, the Lord of hosts has the armies of heaven at his disposal to care for your every need. And so we praise him, because he will come again. You've joined the crowds, and the holy city is in view. Jerusalem, the place of God's people. You join the shouts and the singing as you look onward to see that great and holy city coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And it comes down in a new creation. In the midst of it all is a rider, the one who sits not on a donkey, not wearing a crown of thorns, but now in a robe, who sits atop a white horse. And on his leg are written the words, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We've raised the gates. We've reached the city. We are in the crowd of saints, and the kingdom has come. The procession is complete, all the way to the cross, to the grave, and to the glory of everlasting life. Together with all who recognize him, we are ready. And so we say, who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory. Amen.